This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
We're going to start with the LAUSD because school is starting up again soon. District says it needs more money.
School board expected to move ahead today with a vote to put a $9 billion school construction bond on the November ballot. Property owners would be paying for it, as always. John Baird live with more.
Yes, they would be. But in a report, school officials say 60% of the school buildings are more than 50 years old, that upgrades are badly needed, like modernizing the facilities and making the campuses safe and earthquake resilient, and upgrading educational technology. And they say that every year they fall further and further behind. But John Kupal of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association says residents will ultimately foot the bill.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just homes. It's all businesses. Anybody who pays a property tax has exposure to these local general obligation bonds.
First, though, 55% of the voters would have to say yes to the bond measure. That's in November. I asked one couple they would be willing to pay more.
No.
No way.
No.
No shot.
No.
No. They were adamant. Another woman grabbing coffee this morning said she'd be willing to pony up more money in property taxes to help fix the schools.
I would if that's really going to be what they're going to do.
You think it's worth it, paying the extra?
I do.
This would be the first time in 16 years that LA Unified has come for a handout and asked voters to do something like this, increase property taxes. But we'll see what happens come November.
That shake alert worked, and before the earthquake last night, a lot of people said, yeah, we got the warning, and then they started calling us.
Got a text message on my phone that basically an earthquake was coming into drop cover and hold, and sure enough, a couple seconds later, it was a rolling up and down one, lasted for several seconds.
I felt the longer, and said it was kind of a rolling earthquake, maybe 6-7 seconds. We felt it pretty good here.
It did start to roll a little bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a slight jolt, and it rolled for, I would say, 10 seconds or more.
5.2 southwest of Bakersfield. A number of aftershocks since it happened. Shake Alert sends notifications to people in the areas where it's expected to be a 4.5 or greater.
Rancho Palos Verdes is asking again for help from the federal government. Our Natalie Tavidian has the latest from a city council meeting last night.
Okay, Ara Maranian, I'm city manager for Rancho Palos Verdes.
How many layers of emergency have been declared?
Back in October, the city council declared a local state of emergency. And so that was very localized. And then in February 20th, the council sent a letter to the governor requesting the governor declare a state of emergency for our city and then asked that the president declare a federal disaster. We heard back 3 days later basically saying that was not necessary because the governor had already declared a state of emergency for all of LA County because of the winter rain. Still operating under that emergency. What's new, in addition to the declaration that was made for the land movement, the council is now being asked to declare a new local state of emergency for the shutoff of gas to the to 135 households.
City officials organized a big group of emergency preparedness resources from the county, the state, some nonprofits. Yesterday, they're going to hold a similar meeting tomorrow.
New poll on how extreme heat's affecting people's lives here in the U.S. Correspondent Donna Warder.
7 in 10 people in the U.S. who responded to the poll by the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs Research say that in the last year, extreme heat has had an impact on their electricity bills, ranging from a minor impact to a major one, and most have seen at least a minor impact on their outdoor activities.
The effects most widely reported in the West and the South. About half of people living around here say their sleep has been affected at least a little bit because it's so hot. 20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
It's Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. They appeared together for the first time at a packed rally in Philadelphia. And we talked about it with Philadelphia Inquirer political reporter Julia Taruso. She was at the rally.
How did it go over last night with that crowd and with the Democrats who were watching this? I mean, this appearance by these two, it had some energy.
It did, yeah. So they were in the Leah Kor Center, which is a center in North Philadelphia that's hosted a lot of political rallies before. I've gone to many of them as a reporter, and the place was packed. They had an overflow room. They had a line down the block, and it really sort of had the environment of you know, I'm not going to say a Taylor Swift concert, but almost a Taylor Swift. They were going for that. They handed out these light up bracelets, and the music was pumping, and it definitely felt, you know, it didn't feel like a political rally I'd been at for some time. So I think that the Harris campaign is excited about, I'm sure.
That's what the Dems will do now. The camo hats for Tim Walz and the friendship bracelets for everybody else. Was it awkward at all with Governor Shapiro, kind of the runner-up, doing the introduction? Or can we sort of see something there as to why maybe it wasn't him? Because he's great. I mean, he comes out swinging. People like that. But he was more of like a barnstormer type last night. Tim Walz was doing this sort of like everyman thing.
Yes, very different styles, which I think you saw last night. It was, I don't think it was awkward. I will say Governor Shapiro got about a 2-minute ovation from his hometown crowd, which was pretty powerful for, you know, the guy who just found out hours earlier he didn't get the job. But then even in the city that's known for booing people, when Walz came out with Harris, he got a very enthusiastic, warm welcome. And I do think you saw a distinction in their styles, and I think that's part of what went into it. I also think it just came down to kind of personal connection, I'm hearing from a lot of my sources. And you know, while Walz started out with his, like, this is who I am, this is where I'm from intro, his biggest cheer lines by far were when he took some digs at former President Trump, called him weird, kind of some of the stuff we've heard from him on the news shows.
Do you see much of a distinction in the response in your state there to it not being Shapiro? Is it, oh, good, we can keep him as governor, we like the guy? Or is it, well, what if you lose Philadelphia now because you didn't pick him?
I think on the whole, you know, Governor Shapiro is a popular governor. A lot of people are happy to have him in the state, but those who are really watching kind of the polls and the data in this race, there was a little worry yesterday, like, okay, you know, she didn't go with the guy who we think might help her win Pennsylvania. But on the whole, I think it's full steam ahead. You know, there's always a little bit of Monday morning quarterbacking going on. Shapiro had a lot of people who were publicly kind of advocating for him to get this job who were very flattering and enthusiastic about Walz yesterday here in Pennsylvania.
Real quick before we run out of time, is the Trump attack going to be, you know, they just want you to think that Walz is more moderate? He's actually like super liberal.
I think so. Yeah, we already saw some of that yesterday, you know, saying they're both, you know, now you have two blue state extreme liberals on the ticket. I've talked to some people in the Harris campaign who have said that they think the best way to push back against that is just to kind of say, look at the guy, and sort of let his, you know, his backstory, the way he presents, be the best challenge to that.
That is Philadelphia Inquirer political reporter Julia Taruso. Disney profiting off its streaming services, the theme parks not so much, and more young women in Southern California now have a shot at becoming Rose Queen. We'll tell you more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Donald Trump has some things to say about that appearance by Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. He called into Fox News this morning.
If you look at his record with no walls, no security, let everybody in, he's worse than they are. You know, nobody knew how radical left she was, but he's a smarter version of her. If you want to know the truth, he's probably about the same as Bernie Sanders. He's probably more so than Bernie Sanders. She is more so than Bernie Sanders. That's got to be your guide, Bernie Sanders, and it's not a great guide. But there's never been a ticket like this. This is a ticket that would want this country to go communist immediately, if not sooner.
He says he is willing to debate Harris, but depending on the day of the week, it's either they can't agree on the network or there's an announcement coming soon.
Elon Musk is going to interview Donald Trump Monday night. Trump posted on Truth Social he's going to talk with Musk. Last month, Musk endorsed Trump after the assassination attempt. Musk has ties to America's PAC. The North Carolina Board of Education told CNBC on Monday it's investigating the pro-Trump political action committee after getting a complaint that the group was collecting personal data from website users and failing to help users register to vote as promised. America PAC is also reportedly being watched by the North Carolina Attorney General's Office and Michigan Secretary of State.
Today is Mother's Equal Pay Day. That's because it would take until today for the average working mom to make as much as a working dad did last year. Vice President of Research, the National Women's Law Center, explaining how they figured this out.
The date is calculated as a sort of catch-up day. So if we were looking at what dads made last year alone, August about now would be when moms catch up to those earnings of dads in just 2023 alone.
Mothers who work full-time paid an average of 69 cents for every dollar a father makes.
Are you a Disney subscriber? Those monthly payments are adding up in more ways than one. Earnings are out, and Disney posted a profit for the third quarter with a combined streaming business, Disney Plus and Hulu, turning positive for the first time.
Dulu, combined them.
Dulu, you bet. The company beat Wall Street expectations, revenue up 4%. Big movies like Inside Out 2, of course, helped a lot. And you may have heard in a few months, subscription prices are going up a couple of bucks. They're going to range anywhere from $9.99 a month for the plans with ads to up to $19.99 for no ads.
This morning, first witnesses for the prosecution going to take the stand in this fraud trial of a former high-profile L.A. attorney. Here's Emily Valdez.
85-year-old Tom Girardi is the estranged husband of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Erica Jane. He's charged with four counts of wire fraud related to four clients from 2010 to 2020. Prosecutors allege he stole $15 million from them when their cases were settled, then lied to clients about why they weren't getting their money. Defense attorneys for Girardi say they will show he has dementia, did not know what was going on in his chaotic law office towards the end, and the real thief, they say, is the former head accountant who is also facing fraud charges. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Burglary crew hit a high-end shoe store on Ventura around 3 this morning. This was in Encino. Cops interrupted them. They were at the store, and they say several suspects wearing masks took off, jumped into three getaway cars, a couple of Camaros and a Corvette, triggering a high-speed chase. They lost them on the 101. Fox 11 out with this, saying back in December, the same store was hit also by a crew of six around 3 in the morning.
Black Californians overwhelmingly say reparations are a motivating factor to go and vote. Karen Adams with more on a just-released survey.
Whether they are Republican, Democrat, or independent, Black Californians in the polls say it matters where a candidate stands on the issue of reparations.
So really, we've seen throughout the survey that folks are motivated to vote for reparations. They want their elected officials and candidates to support reparations, and they want reparations, at least majority speaking, to go to all Black Californians who've experienced racism and discrimination from white supremacy.
That's Chris Ringwald with Catalyst California. Lene Norwood with L. Norwood & Associates points out reparations is not just a cash payout.
Reparations must be comprehensive, and our roadmap to what comprehensive reparations and complete reparations look like is the five UN principles around reparations: satisfaction, rehabilitation, restitution, compensation, and guarantee of non-repetition.
The California Black Power Network survey follows the State Reparations Task Force's report on a comprehensive plan of action on the issue. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
More young women will get a chance to compete for the job of Rose Queen. Tournament of Roses has expanded geographic eligibility. Traditionally, the court has come from the Pasadena Area Community College District. This year, applicants from 7 new zip codes will be accepted. Those areas are including parts of Alhambra, El Sereno, Eagle Rock, Highland Park, and San Gabriel. Applications being accepted now. Go to tournamentofroses.com, and they'll list the eligibility requirements.
20 minutes of nonstop news.
Tim Walz's record is a joke. He's been one of the most far-left radicals in the entire United States government at any level.
Donald Trump's running mate J.D. Vance at a rally yesterday, going after this new Democratic ticket, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Getting a better look at the taglines. Basically, yeah, too liberal, bordering on socialist. That's what they're going to be saying. Is that going to work? In Minnesota, we have Democratic strategist Jeff Blodgett.
Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you. So Republicans, yeah, they're putting Tim Walz to the left of Bernie Sanders. That's what they're saying, saying he let Minneapolis burn after George Floyd and is weak at the border, among other things. How do you counter that narrative, or do you need to win?
Well, I think it sounds like the Republicans are flailing and worried because, you know, yesterday the country got a chance to meet Tim Walz, and he is the most mainstream Midwestern values type regular guy out there. He's not a career politician. He's plain spoken. He's a teacher, football coach, veteran. he got elected to Congress five times over in a Republican district. So he's actually very mainstream, and Minnesotans see him as downright moderate.
There's always the argument that, VPs don't matter. Where do you fall on that? I mean, is he some type of draw? You can already see them going after a certain crowd, right? Gun owner, military, calling him coach. They've sold out of the camo hat they put on the website.
Well, yeah, I think the Midwestern states of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania are really key in this election. And I think Tim Walz has the values and the cultural fit for this region. So I expect to see him campaigning extensively in those states. And I think he can make a difference. I mean, first off, when you choose a vice presidential candidate, you have to do no harm. And clearly, Vice President Harris has actually done the opposite. She's added someone who's going to add a lot of value to the ticket, I believe.
I mean, it seems like years ago we were talking about President Biden and his age. So much has changed so quickly, and they're talking about bringing joy back. So it's a different environment with this duo on the Democratic ticket. But you said the phrase can make a difference. Can he make a difference when it counts in November to win the White House?
Well, you're right. I mean, this election has radically changed. And all of a sudden, it's actually a campaign and a debate about the future versus the past. And Vice President Harris now has that that advantage to be more forward looking, while the Republican ticket is actually really thinking about taking us back and looking backward. Tim Walz adds to that. They're the same age. And both of them have an optimism and a joy to how they operate as people and as candidates. And I think that is it's a dramatic contrast to the Republican ticket, which is pretty kind of dark and a little bit, or as Tim Walz says, a little bit creepy.
All right. That's a Democratic strategist in Minnesota there, Jeff Blodgett.